Good morning, Radio Hangar. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS, your aviation information service. Today we're going to talk about a photograph, just a photograph, but it's the kind of photograph that changes how a lot of people in this business think about the airspace over the Western Pacific. Here's what you need to know. China has for the first time released official footage showing one of its bombers carrying a weapon that until now most of us had only seen in blurry satellite passes and speculation. We'll get into exactly what that is, why it matters, and what it does and does not mean for the person listening. And I'm going to be careful today to separate what we actually know from what people are guessing at, because there's a lot of guessing going on, and you deserve better than that. Before we get into it, today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's get into it. The imagery came out of China as part of a series of promotional features. The occasion was the 99th anniversary of the founding of the People's Liberation Army, the PLA, the umbrella organization for China's armed forces. Anniversaries like this one are traditionally when Beijing chooses to show the public and the world hardware it has been holding close. And what they showed this time was significant. Official footage of a People's Liberation Army Air Force bomber, specifically the H-6 November variant, carrying a very large air-launched ballistic missile designated the JL-1. Let me spell some of this out because the alphabet soup gets thick fast. The aircraft is the H-6. If that airframe sounds familiar, it should. The H-6 is China's long-serving bomber, and its lineage traces all the way back to the Soviet Tupolev Tu-16 from the 1950s. Think about that for a moment. The basic airframe design is roughly 70 years old. It's a twin-engine jet bomber swept wing, and by the standards of modern strategic aviation, it is not stealthy, it is not especially fast, and it is not new. But here's the thing about old airframes. You can keep making them relevant by changing what they carry. And that is exactly the story of the H-6. The specific variant here is the H-6 November. The November model is the one built to carry heavy standoff weapons on a centerline station under the fuselage. And critically, it's the variant equipped for aerial refueling. That refueling capability matters, because it extends the bomber's reach well beyond what the base airframe could ever manage on internal fuel. A bomber that can be refueled in flight is a bomber whose range is limited more by crew endurance than by tanks. Now the weapon, the JL-1. It's being described as an air-launched ballistic missile in the trade. We shorten that to ALBM. And I want to slow down here because the term ballistic missile is doing a lot of work in that sentence. And it's worth understanding why. Most of the standoff weapons you hear about, cruise missiles, the kind that fly like little unmanned airplanes, they stay down in the atmosphere, they breathe air, they have wings, they cruise to a target at a few hundred knots. A ballistic missile is a completely different animal. It's a rocket. It boosts up, often, to the very edge of the atmosphere or beyond. And then the payload comes back down along a ballistic arc at tremendous speed, much faster than a cruise missile, much harder to intercept. Putting a weapon like that under the wing, or in this case, under the belly, of an aircraft is a meaningful step. It means the launch point can move, a ground-based ballistic missile sits in a known location, or it drives around on a truck. An air-launched one can be carried hundreds or thousands of miles in an unpredictable direction before it's ever released. That complicates the math for anyone trying to defend against it. And the reporting indicates this particular missile is assessed to be nuclear capable. I want to be precise about that word. Capable. That describes what a system could be armed with. It does not tell us what any individual missile is carrying on any given day, and it does not tell us anything about intent. When you hear nuclear capable, hear it as a statement about the design envelope, not a statement about a loaded weapon. That distinction matters, and a lot of headlines blur it. The reporting on all of this comes from The Aviationist, which has been tracking Chinese military aviation developments closely, and they were careful to frame the footage for what it is. Promotional material, released deliberately, timed to an anniversary. So let's talk about that framing, because the headline doesn't tell the whole story. When a nation releases imagery like this on purpose, on a national holiday, in a polished promotional package, that releases itself the message. Militaries do not accidentally publish footage of their most sensitive strategic hardware. This was a decision, and decisions like this are usually about signaling. It's a way of saying, we have this. We want you to know we have this, and we want you to factor it into your calculations. That's not me speculating about geopolitics. That's just how strategic disclosure works. And it's worth understanding as an aviation professional because it tells you the capability has reached a level of maturity where China is comfortable showing it off. You generally don't advertise a program that's still falling out of the sky on the test range. Now, here's the question I know some of you are already asking. Tower, I fly a Cessna 172 out of a class Delta field in the middle of the country. Or I'm flying a Cirrus or a King Air, or I'm a regional first officer building time. Why are you spending a segment on a Chinese bomber? Fair question, let me answer it directly. And this is the part where I connect the news to the flying. This affects you if you fly internationally, if you fly in the Pacific region, or if your career trajectory takes you anywhere near the airspace we're talking about. And here's the concrete mechanism. Strategic weapons developments drive airspace policy. They drive it directly. When a new class of weapon system enters the picture, governments respond with exercises, with restricted areas, with temporary flight restrictions, and sometimes with permanent changes to how airspace is structured and controlled. We saw versions of this play out over the last several years across the Pacific, where missile tests and military exercises have repeatedly triggered airspace closures that rippled into commercial and general aviation route planning. If you fly oceanic routes across the Pacific, you already know that notices to air missions, NOTAMs, related to military activity are a real part of your pre-flight. A development like this one is upstream of those NOTAMs. The hardware comes first, the exercises to validate it come next, and the airspace restrictions to conduct those exercises come after that. So when you see a NOTAM closing a block of oceanic airspace for a military exercise window, this is the kind of program that sits behind it. There's a second implication, and it's about the tanker and the standoff concept generally, because that's a trend worth watching regardless of whose flag is on the tail. The whole point of an air-launched standoff weapon, whether it's this system or an American one or anyone else's, is to let the launch aircraft stay far away from the target and from the defenses around it. That standoff philosophy has been reshaping military aviation for two decades now, and it changes what bombers are for. The bomber increasingly becomes a truck, a launch platform. The range and the lethality live in the weapon, not in the aircraft. An airframe from the 1950s can stay strategically relevant for another generation if the missile it carries is modern enough. That's the lesson of the H-6, and it's a lesson that applies broadly across military aviation. For those of you eyeing a military flying career, or those of you already in uniform listening on a break, this is the direction the whole field is moving: sensors and weapons and networking, with the airframe as one node in a much larger system. The romance of the fast jet is still there, but the center of gravity in modern air power keeps shifting toward the payload and the data. Let me also say clearly what this is not, because responsible reporting means flagging the limits of what we know. We do not have independent confirmation of this missile's actual range, its accuracy, or its operational status. Those figures, when you see them quoted, are estimates. Analysts build them from the size of the missile in the imagery, from the known performance of similar systems, and from prior test observations. They're educated estimates, and some of them are quite good, but they are estimates. Anyone telling you a precise range figure with total confidence is selling you more certainty than exists in the open source. When I don't know something, I'm going to tell you I don't know it. That's the deal on this show. What we do know is concrete, and it's enough. China has publicly shown an operational-looking bomber carrying a large air-launched ballistic missile assessed to be nuclear-capable, and it chose to show it to the world on purpose. That's the fact. Everything downstream of that fact, the exact numbers, the deployment timelines, the strategic intent, that's analysis, and analysis carries uncertainty. So what should you actually do with this? For most of you, honestly, nothing changes tomorrow morning. You'll pre-flight, you'll check the weather, you'll go fly. This is context, not a call to action. But if you're flying in or near the Pacific Theater, treat it as one more reason to take your NOTAM briefings seriously and to build flexibility into your oceanic planning. Military airspace activity in that part of the world has been trending up, not down, and developments like this are why. Give yourself margin. Have your alternates thought through. That's just good airmanship, and it's good airmanship whether the reason is weather, volcanic ash, or a military exercise window. And if you're a student of this profession, and I hope all of us are, then file this away as a data point in a larger picture. Air power is changing. The lines between the strategic and the tactical, between the bomber and the missile, keep blurring. Watching how nations develop and reveal these capabilities tells you where the whole enterprise of flight, military, and eventually civil is headed. That's the story. A photograph released on an anniversary that tells us a little about a weapon and a lot about intent. Today's reporting came from The Aviationist, whose coverage of Chinese military aviation is worth your time if this is a corner of the field that interests you. You can find more of what we cover over at RadioHangar.com. This is Tower. Keep your facts straight, keep your speculation labeled, and keep your head on a swivel. I'll see you on the next one.